wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my friends, wherever you are in the world, whatever day of the week you are listening to this, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, your change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, always trying to inspire change. For me, it's about healthier living, more aliveness, more enjoyment, more pleasure in your life. It is about enjoying your life. Remembering that your life is a play, it is a movie, it is a book. My friend David Fagan says, live your life like you're going to write a book about it. And I really encourage people to live their lives with that philosophy and remember that books have prequels and sequels and revisions. And every day we're writing a new story. Every day we're writing and discovering new nuances about who you are, how you are, why you are, and where you are and who you're with, right? And today I'm going to talk about the healing power of fasting. And, you know, most people hear about fasting from a physician, from the body standpoint. And I'm absolutely going to talk about why fasting is important for the body. But as you know, I talk about that the body doesn't live in a vacuum. The body is a part of nature. The body is a collection of cells. The cells make organs. The organs make organ systems. The organ systems make an interconnected highway of the body. And then the body lives, you know, in a place connected. And is always connected to food, right? And food is actually our connection to the external environment. And when we're eating food, we are eating nutrients. We have all been taught that we're eating calories, and those are nutrients. And we have fat, and we have protein, and we have carbohydrates. And we call those our macronutrients because those are kind of the bigger pieces. And some people will say I'm pescatarian or vegetarian or vegan or carnivore or omnivore. Now, carnivore means I'm eating a lot of meat. Omnivore means I'm eating meat and vegetables. Now, the human can be a vegetarian, can be a vegan. That means they don't eat any animal products at all. The vegetarian eats mostly vegetables and fruits and things that are not animal products. But they might eat eggs or cheese, which comes from the milk. They might drink milk, right? It's coming from an animal product, but it's not destroying the animal in the process. A vegan will only eat fruits and vegetables and no animal products. Carnivores, you know, are eating meat products, and some of them only eat meat products, but that's not really considered beneficial for the body. We do think the body really needs plant-based foods, that we are meant to at least be omnivores. And then, you know, the vegetarians and the vegans will say, no, we don't have to eat animals. We really can get all our nutrients from fruits and vegetables, seeds, nuts, roots, and I think we can. But in our life, it takes conscious choice to get all the nutrients, to make sure we have a balanced diet getting all our nutrients. And so I want to go to that word conscious choice, because whether you're an omnivore, carnivore, eating vegetarian, pescatarian, which means adding fish, or vegan, right? Conscious choice, conscious living is really what I'm going to be sort of talking about when I talk about fasting, because fasting is making a decision that you don't need to eat round the clock, that this body can eat at certain times and not other times, that this body actually makes conscious decisions about what foods it's putting into its body and what food it's not putting into its body. Conscious decisions about what liquids it's putting in and liquids it's not putting in. Conscious decisions about when to eat and when not to eat. And so, to me, the healing power of fasting starts with the conscious decision about food in and of itself, the conscious decision about living. Am I living every morning when you wake up? Every morning when you wake up, it's a choice between living or dying. So from the first day you're born, are you living? And some people would say, well, that's a silly question. Of course I'm alive. And I would say that every day you're alive, you're also closer to death. Because all of us, as far as we know, don't get out of here without dying. We have yet to figure out that the body we're in can become immortal. Now, there are those folks who have a spiritual practice or a philosophical practice that says we're spirit beings living in a human body. And that the spirit is eternal. And that may be so, but I don't think that we have tangible scientific proof exactly of what comes after what we perceive as death. So if we talk about the human experience in this avatar, in this body that you are 100% aware that you're living in right now, then as far as we know, this human avatar is also going to have a finite lifespan. And none of us actually ever know when that lifespan is over. So every morning when we wake up, we make the conscious decision. Or we go about life unconsciously. Am I living or am I dying? Right? And so that decision is if I'm consciously living, to me, that means I'm living with choice. I'm living with an awareness of all the choices I make in my life, what to eat. Is such a critical part of that choice. So for me, I have a desire because I love life and I love playing with this one life. I really want to keep this avatar body of mine healthy. And I want to have a healthy mind. I want to have a healthy physicality. I want to be able to do things and be strong and not have dis-ease in my body, right? So I want to feel strong and not live in pain. I want to have emotional wealth and health. And I want to have spiritual health. I want to have meaning and purpose and connection of like, why am I here? And so all of this leads me to a place of I want to make conscious decisions about how I live my life. So, fasting, food. Okay. I look at life as the planet we're on is a dual universe. We have day and night, sun and moon, darkness and light, male and female. We have right side, left side. We see so much in our universe in twos, right? Noah's Ark, bring two of every animal onto the Noah's Ark story. We have animals and plants. Foods do we choose? Animals or plants, right? So fasting is the opposite of feasting. Okay. It's giving the so let's talk about some of the benefits of fasting. And some of the benefits of fasting, if we talk about it from the standpoint of the physicality and the body, is your gut, you got 6 football fields worth of gut in your body. When they think about how many cells make up the human avatar, the human body, and they make a picture of that, we have more bacterial cells than we have human cells. Like by orders of magnitude. Some say, if you put it pictorially, that from above the knee down would be how many human cells there are. And the rest is bacteria. 6 football fields worth of these filled with these tiny microbes in your intestines, plus all the microbes outside on your skin, in all the cavities, your nose, your mouth, your ears, around your eyes, in every hole in your body, is bacteria. And these bacteria are actually the cells that start to digest the food. They digest the food in the mouth, the saliva, and the salivary glands give you enzymes in the mouth that help these bacteria break down the food products into tiny, tiny, tiny little products. And the chewing of our food breaks down the products. And so these bacteria, if we're eating 24/7 round the clock, if we're always putting food in our mouths without a break, those bacteria are workhorses and we're never giving them a break. And I don't know about you, but if I don't take a rest, my body tells me, you're exhausted. If you look at the human body and you deprive it of sleep, the human body will go crazy. It will literally get manic and fearful and crazy. And the CIA and its counterparts around the world often use sleep deprivation as torture. So this body needs rest as much as the body needs movement. Now, if you lied on a couch all day long and you never moved, you'd get bed sores, and those would be higher risk of infection. Okay. So let's have empathy for all the bacteria that actually do the digesting for our bodies. And if we are eating all the time from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed, and some people don't get enough sleep, so they're eating, let's say, till 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, and maybe they wake up hungry during the night and they have a snack or something like that, then these bacteria actually have no rest periods, no respite from all their work. And that may not do us a service. They get tired. They may not be able to digest the food as well. So we know if you deprive the body, quote unquote, deprive the body of food for a period of time, what happens in the body actually is the immune system actually wakes up and the gut can rest. And so all of a sudden there's more immune surveillance and there's something called autophagy, which means the immune system starts scanning the body and getting rid of cells that have started to break down and fall apart. Old cells get cleaned out. It's like doing a spring cleaning in your body. And as if you're like when you clean the clutter in your house and you do a spring cleaning and you throw out things that you don't need anymore, the body does the same thing. And so when we fast, the body gets to clean itself out. And the longer the fast, the more time, in a sense, the body has to do this self-cleaning. And so fasting actually really helps clean out. Every day we may have cells that are sparking abnormalities that there's some breakdown and it may lead to a cancer-like cell. And the longer the fast, the clean out happens. And so fasting in the body actually helps with resetting homeostasis, resetting sugar levels, resetting and cleaning the body, and it may prevent cancer. So on that note, we're going to take our first break because even in this podcast, we know we need breaks. I need to have a sip of fluid to replenish the liquid in my body. And so when we come back, I'm going to talk about fasting with water or without and different kinds of fast. So once again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And if you enjoy this podcast, you might enjoy my book. I think you would. It's called Your Healing Playground. Again, by the same name, just remember, healing through play, your healing playground, because life is your play. You get to write it, rewrite it, edit it, make your prequels, make your sequels. But I give you in the book some lessons on ways to heal mind, body, heart, spirit, and heal in a fun way, because life shouldn't be difficult. Life is here for you to enjoy. Now, that doesn't mean that life is always fun and games. And yet, life can be fun and games if you always have an attitude that even when things are not going your way, it's sort of a play or a game of how, like, the universe is toying with me. I love to use that language. What do I still need to learn? What do I need to do? I pretend I'm in a video game trying to get from one level to the next level. What lesson do I need? Why is the world mirroring back to me some lesson that I need, right? And so I play with my life always. And the toughest times means, oh, there's new lessons for me to grow from and evolve. And I'm trying to go from my caterpillar self to my butterfly self. And so let's talk about fasting in that same way. So today we're talking about fasting. And I started by talking about the physicality of it, right? And I'm going to continue on that theme throughout this next segment. But we started with all different diets, right? Conscious living. Conscious living is we choose what to eat, okay? If we choose what to eat, we can have different diets, vegetarian, vegan, or let's go vegan. I'm going in order of what we're eliminating, right? Vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, omnivore, carnivore, right? How many meat products, vegetable products, are things alive, not alive? There is a book called The Light Eaters. I love it. It talks about the consciousness in plants, which I think could make vegetarians freak out because, you know what? There's consciousness in plants. There's a level of intelligence that we're just really starting to understand. And so why is it that we feel, I don't know, more ethical eating plants and not eating animals when it's all part of the circle of life, right? Animals poop, plants fertilize, animals poop, they fertilize the plants, plants grow, plants make food, animals eat them. And it is this circle of life, which means we're all made of the same molecules, the same atoms, the same energy. We get energy from the sun, energy from the earth, the magnetic energy from the core, the sun's energy, and it all gets circulated through food. Beautiful new movie called Pharmacy of Light, teaching about the closer your source is to the plant, the more light and photonic energy and biological energy that we get in the food. And so again, conscious living is choosing which foods to eat and why. Are they closer to the food source? Are they more local? Is there lots of plants? Are you choosing to eat fish or animals? And again, these are all choices, choices for nutrient value, choices that what does your body need? Maybe your genetics needs one thing over another. Are we eating animals ethically? Are we using all of the animal and not wasting parts of it, right? Certainly the native indigenous societies teach us to kill with respect. And that goes to me for the plant as well as the animal, right? Are we using the roots and the leaves and the flowers and the fruit, right? Because what is a vegetable? Are we eating the fruit of the plant? Are we eating the root of the plant or the leaf of the plant? And how can we use more of the plants? How can we use more of the animals? Do we eat the organ meats? Do we eat, we use the skin for making clothing or objects that we use in our daily living? Are we giving the animal the respect it needs while it's alive and while it's dead? So are we alive and dead every morning when we make up, when we wake up and we make those choices? When we're eating, we're making that choice. Now, when we're fasting, we're also making similar choices. So there are all different kinds of fasts. There are water fasts and complete fasts, like you're not eating water, any liquids or food. Now, not eating liquids, I would not do that for very long periods of time. I think the body is 67% liquid, 67% water. We are part of the water cycle, and we can go much longer health-wise when we are not dehydrated. So it's very, very important to have water in your day and have electrolytes in that water as well. There's a whole discussion about the kinds of water we're drinking and the acid-base balance, and does the water have electrolytes in it? So sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, spring waters versus tap waters, are they adding things like fluoride to your water, and is that good or bad? Are you sterilizing the water, and is that good or bad? We're getting rid of bad bacteria that could cause illness, but are we stripping the water of electrolytes that we actually need, right? And so again, thinking about which water you're drinking consciously, and are you having water by itself, or are you having tea or coffee or a plant-derived herbal flavoring in the water, or are you drinking artificial man-made products like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, other sodas? Are you putting carbonation into the water, and does that carbonation affect there's CO2 in there. So does that affect the acid-base balance in your system because you're putting more carbon dioxide in, which can affect and buffer the acid-base balance, which is what the kidneys work so hard to keep your pH neutral. So all of this affects the minute minutiae of every cell in your body, in your bloodstream, the breath rate, right? Because if we breathe fast, we're breathing off carbon dioxide, and that affects our acid-base balance. If we slow our breath down, we hold on to that carbon dioxide, we slow our heart rate, and this all changes the acid-base balance in our bodies. So all of this becomes conscious breathing, conscious food, conscious fasting. So let's go back to fasting. And we could have a full fast, but add water and liquid. We could do a fasting, intermittent fasting. So we fast for part of the day. We tell our bodies for 12 hours, let's say 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., we are not putting water or food into our bodies, and we are giving the bowel the rest it needs so that while you're sleeping, your bowel gets to sleep so that we're giving the bowel a rest. And perhaps we stop eating 3 hours before we go to bed because it takes the bowel perhaps 3 hours to finish digesting the food, right? And so the bowel has more time to sleep. So I believe that everyone really should have a 12-hour fast at a minimum every day. Okay, that should be how this body sort of was designed to work, the on switch, the off switch, right? The off switch, the sleep switch, the bowel rest switch, that's critical for us, right? Now, eating during the day, I think, you know, there are many cultures around the world, they don't have as much food as us. And certainly the cavemen were off hunting a lot. So in some parts of the world, they have one big meal in the middle of the day. They're not eating 24/7. Their break fast, which again, breakfast means you're breaking a fast. You didn't eat for hours during the night. And their break fast might be as late as 11 or 12 in the morning, not the minute they wake up. I know for me, I don't really wake up hungry. I think my digestion pathway is slower than most, and I'm not hungry in the morning. And so I don't typically eat till later in the morning. My fast for on a regular basis, I try and eat between 11 and 12 and 6, 7, 8 p.m. I try and condense my eating window into a period in the day. Now, I wake up and I like to have water in the morning and perhaps lemon water with electrolytes, sometimes with salt in it, some magnesium in it. I'm big on having tea in my morning, more so tea than coffee. I like flavored waters. I might put mint in my water. I might put a lime or a lemon in my water or an orange slice to give me a little bit of flavor, right? In the evening, I'm again filling my tank. And I may have teas with chamomile tea or lemon balm tea or passion flower tea. Those are getting me ready for evening and sleep, and they're resting my nervous system, right? Magnesium in the water, in spring water, calms my nervous system. So water throughout the day is important in my mind, but I condense my eating window on a regular basis. Now, in the first 0 to 12 hours, if you don't eat, your blood sugar and your insulin is affected. And again, that helps your body so you're not always driving the pancreas. The pancreas is the organ that makes your digestive enzymes and makes insulin. Insulin helps take the sugar that comes in with the food into the bloodstream. And insulin it's like the taxi that shuttles the glucose out of the bloodstream back into the cells so that the cells can digest it and metabolize glucose into energy. Because food is more than calories. food is information and code and to be turned into energy. At our heart of who we are, we're an energy machine. We're taking in energy all the time, in food, in water, in light, in the electrons from the earth, and we are converting that into ATP, which is energy. And we need that energy to do our life duties, to do what we do as humans. And actually, we're taking energy in, recycling it, and giving it back to the environment we live in. We are taking it in as food, as water, as sunshine, as electrons from the earth through grounding. And we are expressing it back into the earth, into the air, into the water, through sweat, through urine, through poop, through laughter, through crying, through movement, through the creativity that we give back to the world. So the first 12 hours is all about the blood sugar and insulin and shuttling the sugar out of the bloodstream into their cells. The next 12 to 18 hours is when fat burning starts to increase. And so when you're not eating all the time, the body starts to actually use fat to keep your constant, to keep the sugar in your blood stable. And so it's really critical for our bodies to have stable sugar levels. And we do that, by actually having our bodies run more on fat than on the ups and downs of the sugar that we're eating. And I'm going to quickly just, once we're up to that 18 to 24 hours, then the stored glycogen starts to fall. And from 24 to 30 hours, we start living on ketones. And ketones is a different form of energy, but it keeps, the brain loves running on ketones. It keeps our focus. 30 to 36 hours, there's a bigger switch. And that's when that autophagy and the killing of the discovery of abnormal cells starts to show up. And beyond 36 hours, we get into really deeper ketosis. And that's when cellular cleanup really happens. And again, I mentioned that fasting is critical for cellular cleanup, but we need these longer fasts. And on that note, it's time for us to take a short fast, a short break from my talking. We are about to go to our next break. Please come back as we talk about benefits beyond the physical from fasting. So come right back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you like listening to my tips and tools on how to play with your life, how to heal in multimodal different ways, my interviews, please subscribe to the podcast. Please share it with your friends. Please spread the word. I do this because I have just spent a lifetime learning about health and wellness and play and just life. And I just really, really am on this planet to get the word out so everybody can have conscious living and live their best life. That's really what I want to do, is help everybody enjoy their life. So back to fasting. We spent the first two parts of this day's episode really talking about conscious living and physical benefits of fasting. But I want to talk about getting curious with what's going on with the rest of the body when we're fasting. So again, whether you're intermittently fasting because you're new to fasting and you're just going to spend 12 hours fasting or 16 hours fasting, or for you, it might be 8 hours. Maybe that's new. Again, I want you to take the moment to just be conscious that you're choosing to do this. So your mind is deciding to live your life in a slightly different way. And that in and of itself is its own unique benefit, in a sense, to fasting. It can be an achievement of sorts, of like, wow, I was able to go 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours without eating. How interesting. I never did that before. And that's in and of itself could be an interesting achievement. Now, it could also raise, like, why do we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And we start thinking outside the box of, why was I taught to eat certain foods? Why was I taught to eat at certain times? Is this right for my body, or is this just conditioning and stories that came up in from my family? Where am I? And get curious with, where am I without the stories that were passed down and the habits and the habitual living that showed up from the family of origin? So if I grew up in Soweto in Africa in a slum and I didn't have much at all, these young children, when I was in Africa, we fed them one meal a day. They got, you know, rice and beans and like one little piece of bread. They got a coleslaw-like vegetable stew, and they get one meal a day, and that one meal is enough for them to have the energy to study and learn and hopefully advance themselves so they aren't living in extreme poverty when they become an adult. And it was so beautiful and so critical for this, these adults to come together to feed many children who otherwise would go hungry. And could I go with one meal a day? Conscious living, conscious food. What foods am I choosing to eat? When we were in Africa, these children got real food from the ground. We made sure they got protein, they got carbs, they got vegetables, right? And it's really important that they get real food and not food, man-made food that the bacteria don't know what to do with and that don't actually provide the information, the right codes for our DNA, right? We need the vitamins, all the B vitamins, the A vitamins, C vitamins, D we get from the sun. Vitamin E is an antioxidant. Vitamin C is an antioxidant. The B vitamins are like the lock and key for all the so many of the enzyme factors. We need magnesium. It's involved in like hundreds of enzyme reactions in the body. So we want to choose the right foods. And when you're not eating, it gives you time to reflect on what foods you actually do eat. What foods will you eat when you break your fast? Now, who are we beneath the stories? Can I live on one meal a day? Do I need two? Do I need three? And you can intermittently fast and still have three meals a day. You may have the first meal at 11 or 12, another one at 2 or 3, and another one at 5 or 6. So you're eating the same amount of food, just in a different time zone, right? In a different compressed window. If you do a longer fast, again, you're doing that to clean your body up. And then you start to get into, what do I do with the time in my day that I would normally be eating? And you start noticing, I usually snack or eat at 12, let's say. Am I eating because I'm really hungry? Am I eating because the sun in the sky is at a certain level, so I know it's time for me to eat? Am I eating because it is an emotional, it's feeding me emotionally? It is pleasure in my body, because food is pleasure. Food is a sensual pleasure. Like, are we choosing foods that literally light us up on the inside? And are we slowing down when we eat to get the pleasure? Or are we eating so fast that it's over before we even signal to our body that something fun was coming? Do we eat in community? Because eating in community usually slows us down. Not always. I eat very fast because my brother at the dinner table would like grab seconds and thirds before I was finished. So I think I learned to eat fast. But ideally, eating in community gives us time as a species to be social. And so when you're fasting, can you sit at the table while other people eat? Or is that difficult? And that could be very difficult. So then also question, have I ever spent time with myself? And can I spend 24 hours fasting or 36 hours? But it's mostly 24 of awake time. The extra hours are often when you're sleeping. By myself, questioning, who am I without the stories? Who am I without the food? Who am I? Can I do this? Am I achievement oriented, or do I think I can't do things? And whether you can or you can't, often it's a mindset. It's not real. It's just the way you are. And so sometimes doing a longer fast gives you that sense of, I can do this, right? And sometimes we're sitting with our emotions, because sometimes we eat to distract ourselves from what we're feeling right now. Maybe I'm feeling alone because I eat alone, and now I don't even have the food to distract my brain from the fact that I'm alone when I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So can I sit with myself in my aloneness? And if I'm not eating, can I do something else that's healthy for my body? Can I read a book? Can I take a bath? Can I go for a walk? Can I sit and do nothing? How about that? Sit and do nothing. Can I just be alone with myself and sit and do nothing? Now that, for a lot of people, is novel. For me too. I had to do that for a homework assignment in my integrative medicine fellowship. Go outside, sit in nature, pick a place in nature and sit there at different times of the day to notice how you feel at different times of the day. And I asked, can I just meditate while I sit there? At least I'm doing something while I'm meditating. Sitting and doing nothing, that was so hard for me. Not eating, I often have to go for gentle walks at dinner time, lunchtime. It's hard to sit and do nothing. So we're going to take our last break, and I invite you to consider sitting. Do nothing, because you can. You're allowed. You don't have to spend your entire life doing. You are allowed to sit and just be present in your body, noticing your body. Get curious what you notice during our break. All right, we're going to go to break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I'm Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And again, my websites, womensreproduction.com, drtinaplays.com. Go to Dr. Tina Plays to find more about me, more programs that I'll be hosting. The second Wednesday of every month, I give a free masterclass for people planning families. I've spent my life helping people produce families. As a fertility physician, gynecologist, I help in women's health, getting connected to women and who they really are under all the labels, helping decide how best to build your family, how best to build your life. And again, a free masterclass, second Wednesday in the evening over Zoom. Come join me. And communities coming soon, retreats coming soon. You can find me at Dr. Tina Plays, since I play with life. And again, playing with life. For me, fasting was play. It was pleasurable. It taught me to get connected with my body again. It helps me appreciate refeeding. I just want to remind you, like, even when I fast from nighttime till next day, like, I think about what am I going to eat? And I like to choose, you know, what I'm going to eat. Now, I do want to mention that not everybody should fast. We have to be really cognizant of who to fast, when to fast, how long to fast. So, you know, if you are prone to something like anorexia or binge eating, and you have eating disorders, really, really, really discuss deeply with your internal self, maybe a therapist, the benefits of intermittent fasting, and be careful, because we don't want people to get into a place where it becomes it makes the disease worse. It makes the body sicker. We have to remember to nourish our body and make sure we are getting enough calories, you know, as we refeed. And again, I'm big about refeeding and giving back probiotic foods, prebiotic foods, because we've fasted, we've withheld food from the bacteria. We want to refeed the bacteria the foods that they want. Prebiotic foods are foods your bacteria want. Onion, garlic, leeks, plantains, bananas, while they're still just a teeny bit green. Jerusalem artichokes, which are also called sunchokes. starches like potatoes and rice, but cook them and then eat them at room temperature. All of these things benefit the bacteria that are living in your gut. And then I like to say the bacteria that are living in our gut, they're our first children. They invaded our body the moment we were born into this earthborn universe. And these bacteria need to be fed, cared for, loved. And they also want friends. They're social being like we are social beings. So think about fermented fruits and vegetables. Think about fermented foods. We're talking about yogurts. We're talking about kimchi. We're talking about kefir. We're talking about fermented, sauerkrauts and pickles and fermented vegetables. And I remind people, if you live in a temperate climate, especially when there is winter time, way before we had refrigeration, we would eat fermented foods to get fruits and vegetables in the winter months. So just like spring cleaning is a good time to do a fast, refeeding, a really good time for that is indeed in the winter months, making sure we get lots and lots of probiotic foods. I like to have a little bit, tablespoon of them with every meal. Okay. Now, cancer and fasting is a whole other podcast episode. There are folks who talk about fasting before chemotherapy or a fasting mimicking diet to help the chemo actually affect the cancer cells and not the healthy cells. So you can go and investigate that. If there's diabetes, again, we have to really watch the sugar control. And so if you're a type 1 diabetic, very long fasts may not be good for you. So be very careful with that. If you have insulin resistance and a type 2 diabetes, you might try some intermittent fasting and see, and maybe that would help you get to a place of where your insulin resistance and ketosis is beneficial for you. So again, we need to think about it. Now, again, from a spiritual standpoint, for some people, when they are not eating, they are able to connect more with a spiritual practice. And for those folks who can't fast from foods, remember, fasting is about conscious living. We talked about doing it for physical benefits, but you can fast from the quick emotional dopamine hits we get. You can fast from using your cell phone. You can fast from TV. You can fast from having to go on dates if you're single and you're dating. You can fast from looking at dating apps. You could fast from working all the time. Workaholics, myself included, need to literally schedule time to make sure it's a 24-hour play day, that I'm not going to actively work, right? So you can fast from, maybe you need a fast from your family, right? Maybe you need a break and you need to be, you're an introvert. You need time to yourself, not always around other people. Maybe you need a fast or a rest day from exercise. Like myself, I work out pretty much every day. Maybe I need a real break from exercise. And maybe I need a prolonged fast from exercise if I'm hurt. And what will I do when I am not exercising that gives me the same stress reduction that exercise gives me? So I want you to play with conscious living. Eating, fasting can be exercising, not exercising, can be getting better sleep, not always being awake, not always working, but balancing work and play. Again, think about the dualities of life and fasting being the opposite of feasting, but fasting can be metaphorical as well. So fasting, focus, acceptance, success, and trust. And if you use the ING, insight into your body and for nourishment in different ways and a gift to yourself. So my friends, have a great day and a great week. See you next week on your healing playground.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.